For the on-air chat, Ron Thomas and Aaron Harder hosting today. We're brought to you by CB Financial. Craig Barnwell feels the income is the outcome that matters. Call 620-208-6777 for a free consultation. And Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Good morning, Ron.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Yourself?
Doing great. Beautiful morning out there.
It is a good morning out there. And our spotlight on philanthropy through the Emporia State University Foundation is something that is a must in order for us to have a radio station.
It really is. We're going to delve deep into the music departments at Emporia State University, the talented Department of Music. And we've done a lot of things with the Department of Music over the years, so we're going to find out a little bit more, not only from the chair of the music department, Dr. Alan Comstock, but we have a couple of students who have been through the rigors of the curriculum at Emporia State, and we'll learn a little bit more about the program here this morning.
Yeah, and we also have Angela Fullen from the ESU Foundation joining us. Who do you want to start with? We should probably start with you, Dr. Alan Comstock, chair of the music department at ESU. How's the last couple of years been?
Oh, well, you know, it's been unusual and challenging. First of all, thanks for having us. It was like a chance to talk with your listeners and visit with you guys. So, yeah, this has been an unusual time for everyone, but, you know, especially for education. And this year, we are all back in person. We're masking, of course, but we're trying to be safe, but at least, you know, we're making it work. And it's nice to kind of be going back to some semblance of normal, of what it was like pre-COVID, if we can remember back that far. So it's been great. Personally, I was working from home all last year. So it's been a unique experience to come back to school and work. And it's been wonderful because I really miss seeing people. I missed especially seeing the students every day. And so this has been a really good time for me, despite having to wear the masks all the time.
So let's rewind a year, Alan, and let's talk about how you were able to adjust in going to a virtual lifestyle as far as teaching. How difficult was that? How big of a challenge was that, to, number one, to set up how you were going to do this and then follow through with what you had hoped would happen?
Well, it was a quick learning curve. Fortunately, about a year before COVID hit, we had started to prepare a facility to be able to live stream because we wanted to do that to reach more people. So from that standpoint, we were ready to go. However, it was spring of 2020, and we had made it through the first half of the semester, and COVID was starting to break out with a vengeance. And so we received an email that, okay, we're going to extend spring break a week, so you guys have a week to prepare. It was a challenge.
A week.
So people scrambled, and they really did yeoman's work, and it was very impressive. You know, the students adapted great. I think they're more adaptable than the faculty, for sure. But, you know, what I did is I brought my computer home, set up, you know, got a better microphone and some speaker stuff, because a lot of what I teach is music history, and so, you know, you have to have the sound. So I had a little boombox at home, which worked great, but I had to have a better microphone on my computer. And so it took a while, but we were able to do it. And then it was adjusting to the times. We also have a lot of international students, especially in China. And so doing not face-to-face, it's called synchronous, when you're meeting at the same time period. Well, there's a, you know, 13 to 14 hour time difference between here and China. So for those of us who are working with the Chinese students, we ended up, so for example, in my case, I would teach music history in the morning using Zoom with all of my students, and then in the evening I would teach class for the Chinese students. And so it was 9 o'clock in the morning for them, but it was 7 o'clock for us, and we were a day earlier. So it took a lot of mental gymnastics to stay on top of that. And a lot of the faculty did that with lessons or classes or whatever it might happen to be. So we had kind of an extra layer of complexity built onto that. Ensembles, we basically just cancel the rest of that Yeah, because we needed
2020 got canceled.
Yeah, we needed more time to prepare for the ensembles. For the classes, it's one thing, but for ensembles, you know, you have to figure out, okay, the nuts and bolts of we've got to make sure we've got room to put everybody in the rehearsal space so there's social distancing, et cetera. So that took a little bit of time. However, that gave us, you know, the rest of that semester in the summer to prepare for the fall. And so we came up with a – the whole university did. There were committees. I served on one of them that prepared protocols for, you know, how do we deal with classroom? What about atypical classrooms like labs and rehearsal rooms, et cetera? So we came up with a very strict set of protocols we followed. And the ensemble directors especially were just fantastic because they were the ones that really, you know, came up with – they had to figure out, okay, you know, how do we get X number of people in here? And so, for example, with the wind ensemble, what Dr. Zeke did was to have the students social distance. They moved rehearsals to Albert Taylor Hall, mm-hmm. and they social distanced so that the musicians, the students, were actually out in the seating area, and he conducted from the stage with a microphone, and it worked. And then we were able to live stream the concerts. But it was a very challenging, as you can imagine, a very challenging year. But, you know, we made it work. And so this year we're back more or less to normal.
So how tough is it to social distance? I did see some video of Dr. Zeke's work.
Yeah.
And it looked like, you know, the big strategy was getting people in place.
Yes, that was it. That was it, exactly. Oh, and plus we had to shorten the class times because they had to make sure that the rooms were aired out. And so that added another level of complexity. And then also they had to adjust the repertoire because not only did, for example, the wind ensemble social distance, but he had to suddenly change the repertoire that he was going to do. So it was smaller pieces. It didn't involve as many performers. And so, in effect, there were like two groups, and they would alternate days, mm-hmm. which is what a lot of faculty were doing with their classes, too. So they were hybrid classes where one day half the class would be on Zoom and the other half would be in the classroom, and then they would switch. Because we had square footage standards that we had to follow for social distancing. So a class that could hold 70 could now hold 20. And so we had to divide up a lot of the classes. And so it was the same thing with ensembles. And so in many cases, they either moved the rehearsal to a bigger space or they, for example, the case of the Emporia Symphony, we thought it was not safe to use community members. And so Dr. Miranda made a decision, okay, we're just going to use students and faculty. And then he cut down on the number. So instead of having two oboes, we had one oboe, one bassoon, et cetera. So there were a lot of adjustments like that we made, but it worked.
Well, I can imagine with especially the wind instruments and COVID,
yes,
that doesn't go hand in hand, does it?
No, yeah. That's interesting. There were a lot of studies that were done very quickly about that, and it turns out that some instruments, as your listeners may be able to guess, are worse at spreading than others. So trumpet is number one. I'm looking at Caitlin because she's a trumpet.
Yes.
Trumpet is number one. Oboe, oddly, is right up there.
Yikes.
And bassoon, which is my instrument, is like the least of the spreaders. But the protocols that we figured out for that were pianists, string players, singers, they all mask at all times. So it was a challenge for singers. Trying to sing with a mask on is a real challenge. For wind players, you would lower your mask only when you were playing. And so if you had more than a few bars rest, you would put the mask back up when you would enter a room or leave a room. Or, you know, when the conductor was speaking to the group, you'd always have the mask up. And then that was coupled with the social distancing of 6 feet per person. And there were a lot of speculation about, well, should we have plexiglass shelter? Now, most people don't realize this, but plexiglass is extremely expensive. And so it precluded us from having like actual plexiglass shields. But subsequent research has shown that they actually create more harm than good because the air can't circulate. So the best solution was to have fans and to try to keep the air circulating and moving and then to have space.
How big of a challenge is it to be like in a combo or a group or an orchestra? And it comes time for your section to start, and then when you're done, you have to put that mask back up, huh?
That's basically it, yep.
Yep. That's the rules. Huh?
That's the rules. Now, I also play principal bassoon in the Topeka Symphony, but I took a year off from that as well. But I was able to live stream their concerts, and there are masks with slits in them. However, as a double reed player, especially as, you know, bassoon, when I bring the bassoon up to my mouth, I would be scared to death that I'd break the reed. So I was kind of glad that I decided to take the year off from that. So that was one thing I didn't have to deal with.
So spring of 2020, once COVID hit, there was no Zooming online teaching with the actual instruments?
Well, there was for private lessons, for applied lessons. We did that. And that worked okay. The problem with Zoom is that it's not – there's always a little lag because of physics and, you know, the speed of light. And so most of the faculty – in fact, we all, you know, will play along with our students at some point so they can, you know, learn to hear pitch and tone and that sort of thing. And that just isn't possible via Zoom. You know, the technology doesn't exist yet. You can still demonstrate to them. and, of course, you know, there's the nature of Wi-Fi. Sometimes it works. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it works for a while. Sometimes it sort of works. So there was a lot of repeating things, sometimes just signing off and signing back in. But, you know, it was certainly better than the alternative, which would have been nothing.
So Dr. Alan Comstock, he's the chair of the music department at Emporia State University, joining us, one of our guests here on our on-air chat Wednesday morning. So how about your numbers as far as students in the music department as we're into the fall of 2021?
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, you know, we graduated a huge number of students last year. I think it was the largest number of students we've ever graduated. It was almost 30 students, which is huge for a department that normally has 100 to 120. and so whenever that happens, you have a little bit of a rebuilding year. But so they're down comparatively, but we're still strong. And universities, of course, throughout the country are having issues with numbers.
Sure.
And, you know, part of that has to do with funding, especially scholarship dollars.
Angela?
No, yes. He's looking right at me, wasn't he?
Wink, wink.
But it's true, especially for areas that rely on talent. And so both the students that I brought along are seniors, and they both are very strong performers, and they've had talent scholarships. And so they can address the impact that that has on students. But it's difficult just with the environment as is. Not as many people are going to college right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're taking a little time off until things settle down. So I think the numbers will rebound. And some of it is demographics, too. There simply aren't as many people graduating from high school and then going on to college. So it's not just the music department. It's most universities throughout the country and most departments. But our numbers are actually quite strong. Caitlin, how are we doing in the marching band?
Marching band, we're quite happy with what our season looks like right now with numbers. We have the exact same amount of people that we had last year, which last year we didn't really have a marching band season, so we're pretty happy with we still have the same amount of people returning and incoming.
That is fantastic. And Caitlin is one of the two drum majors.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to get with the students here because I assume we're going to hear some pretty good testimonials.
Sure.
You know, for the Department of Music coming up. And Alan, I do know, too, that you do, I think, a very good job in the recruiting area of musicians because you do work closely with schools and getting students from across the state on campus.
Absolutely. We have many events where we bring in students so they can work with the faculty. They can get to know some of our students. We have a big marching band festival coming up in October, next month now. And, oh, my gosh. Caitlin, do you know how many we normally have, like 15 or 18.
Growing every year,
yes.
Too.
we did not have one last year, but the year before it was the largest we'd had, and it was at least 17 schools. So we have like 2,000 kids on school and then a lot of their parents and siblings and directors. And so they have a chance to work with our staff. They get comments from the judges. And what's really nice about our festival is that we will often get smaller schools who have never marched before. And they intentionally come to us because it's not as high pressure as some of the larger festivals. So that's one of the many things. That's probably the biggest, but we have choral events. We have an honor band every year.
Yeah, that honor band is quite successful too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have something called Future Music Student Day, and the numbers for that range anywhere from like a dozen to, last time it was 45. And they're not all people who want to be music majors, but they're students who are very interested in music. And so they want to find out about what's it like, you know, to take these classes. What classes do music majors take? Or, you know, if I want to be a minor or something. So they come in and it's a whole day. And then they have the menu of classes that we offer, and all of the implied instructors give them a free lesson, and they sit in on the ensembles. And so basically they get a chance to see what it's like to be a college student in music for the day. And that's really fun. We do one of those each semester. We had a string camp this summer, which was great. Last year it was virtual, so this year it was face-to-face, and the numbers were the largest for that. Yeah, so that was really fun. That was just before school started. And then the faculty do a lot of outreach to the community. So the faculty themselves will often go out and do a tour where we will play for different schools and we'll work with the kids. So they get to hear us perform and then we will coach them. And so, you know, like Kate Bergman will work the flutes and I'll work with the double reed. And we do a lot of that. We also take the student ensembles on tours, which is really important both for the ensemble and for the schools that we go and visit.
Do you have a good number of students at Emporia State that are not music majors that take music classes?
That's an excellent question. It's very high. I think it's probably higher at a school like Emporia State than it is at a larger university, simply because students can be involved in whatever ensembles they want. They can take lessons. In fact, there are a lot of non-music majors who are just as involved in the department as music majors.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience. So, you know, I get to know all of the music majors because of the classes I teach, but I'll see a lot of non-majors that are just around all the time. And some of them will take my classes, and I sometimes won't be sure if they're a music major or not. I say, man, I've seen you around. You may as well be a music major.
And they're not just taking music history 101 because it's a gen ed class. They're
right.
In
no,
it. They're in it to learn about music.
Exactly. And they have the option of doing a music minor, which are basically, you know, like music theory and music history and then lessons and ensemble stuff. But some students will just do it just because they're interested in it. You know, music is kind of unique in that students get started in it early. They have a passion for it, and they can continue doing it for their entire lives. And so they come in and they say, wow, I really love doing this. And it gets them engaged in the community. So, for example, with marching band, band camp starts the week before classes. Students come in, and they're freshmen. They've never lived away from home. Well, all of a sudden, they have this group of friends and peers. And so it helps them to transition to college better than just about anything else. and, you know, especially here, the students are so supportive of each other. And there's no sense that, well, I'm not a music major, so I feel like, you know, I'm kind of a second-class citizen. You know, there's none of that distinction, which you often do get into in larger schools. So students come and they get involved, and, you know, as non-majors, if they've got the talent, they can get a music scholarship as well. And so they feel like they're part of the group, just as invested as if they were music majors.
Let's get a break in. Ron, we'll come back and introduce both of the students that are in-house and talk a little bit with Angela Fullen from the foundation as well. You're listening to the On Air Chat. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Hi, Craig Barnwell with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 342-5001.
14 KVOE is proud to bring you Feel Good Fridays.
It puts you in the best mood.
Share the good news. If you are tired of hearing all the bad stuff, let us know anything good we should all know about. Call 342-1400 or email kvoe@kvoe.com and we will feature a story every Friday.
It makes you feel good.
14 KVOE, live. We want your good news and local.
Keeping you in touch, KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM, live and local. Time to check local headlines being brought to you by Mark II Lumber, where you'll find a complete line of building materials, hardware, tools, paint, and much more. Mark II Lumber, 825 E6, where you'll find more than just lumber. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, here is Chuck Samples.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning, everybody. One person is dead after a wreck south of Volpe before sunrise. This happened near the junction of Kansas Highway 99 and Road 20 shortly before 6 a.m. Details coming out from the Lyon County Sheriff's Office, and we'll have those for you here on KVUE and KVUE.com. State lawmakers representing Lyon County are not surprised by the findings Monday from the Kansas Legislative Division of Post Audit when it comes to the Department of Labor's response to COVID-based jobless claims and the number of fraudulent claims plus the amount that was paid out. And Emporia's street rehab program continues roughly a month from finishing out. City engineer Jim Hubert says the project is moving along on schedule. KVUE forecast from the TV 13 weather team calling for sunshine today with a high of 87 degrees. Clear skies for tonight, 70 for the overnight low. Tomorrow, look for sunny skies and a high of 92 and possibly stormy on Friday with a high of 87. From the 24-hour KVUE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. We're seeing a 12-mile-an-hour southeast wind. Partly sunny sky, 73 degrees. Headlines, a service of Mark II Lumber, where you'll find a complete line of building materials, hardware, tools, paint, and much more. Mark II Lumber, 825 E6, where you'll find more than just lumber. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. The music department at Emporia State University is our spotlight on philanthropy briefing today. Let's bring in the students. We talked a little bit about you playing the trumpet as well as being a drum major. Caitlin Hess, student from Lawrence, Kansas, senior majoring in music education. Welcome, Caitlin.
Hi, thanks.
How you doing?
Good.
Why'd you choose ESU?
Why I chose ESU? When you're like touring, you know, in senior year of high school, going to all the schools, I knew I had to go in Kansas just because that was easier. And instantly, when you show up to the ESU music department, you can tell every single faculty wants you to be successful. And that was the deciding reason. And I can stand by that statement still. So,
What'd you play in high school?
I played.
Music wise?
I mean, I've just played trumpet.
Just trumpet in high school?
I've played trumpet since sixth grade. And so, yeah, coming in, I met with Dr. Comstock, and he tells you about all the degree requirements, and it seemed like they really had it figured out. And then I had a lesson with Dr. Zeke just to see if I would like learning here and doing all that stuff, and it clicked really well. I really thought I could see myself playing here for a while.
So you don't regret your time here then, I assume?
Not at all. Okay. There's no regret at all. It's definitely gotten better each year.
So what's been the best parts of your experience at Emporia State?
My experience at Emporia State, how much I've gotten to play the trumpet and so many different types of ensembles. And going into education, I knew it was important to me to know how to direct every type of ensemble. So being able to get the experience playing in a jazz band, in a wind ensemble, in symphony, in marching band, I've done all of it. In those ensembles, you also get the ability to learn how to teach those ensembles while playing. Dr. Zeke does a great job of saying why he's expecting these things and why we're learning these things. And so I can take that and apply that to what I want to do.
So what are your future plans? What do you want to do?
Yes, so I think my plan right now, things change all the time, is I would like to continue and get my master's right away in music, either in trumpet performance or education. That's still a deciding thing. And then I do want to have experience teaching a high school band. I think that's really where I want to try to go with this.
So you get your master's here then? Is that what you do?
We're going to see if that can happen.
I see a head nodding, so I have a feeling.
Yeah, I'm like, this is the first Comstock has heard of this plan, too. Yeah.
Sorry, Ron. So with the marching band, next Saturday is our first home football game. Will the marching band be performing at halftime?
Absolutely. We are gearing up to have our marching band play as a band again. Last year was disappointing that we could only rehearse in sectionals, but this year we have full rehearsals, we have drill being set, and we are excited to play at the first game for sure.
So do we have good marching band numbers?
Considering that we have the exact same numbers from a COVID year, yes, we are looking really good.
So I have heard in the past, speaking of the marching band, there had been a couple of years where the numbers weren't really good, and I had a couple of students tell me that were in the music department but did not go to the marching band because I guess the incentives weren't there, I guess, you know, for them to participate. Is that something that is changing as far as what, you know, Emporia State will offer you to be in the marching band? Because it is extra time, is it not?
Yes, it's a lot of extra time, and we know that. We understand that even if you're a non-major, it's 6 hours of rehearsal a week, and then Saturday game days is almost the whole day event. But when you are just registered in marching band, no matter if you're a section leader, other member, you get a $500 scholarship automatically applied because you do put in that extra time and extra work. So you do get a $500 scholarship, okay. And that helps out everybody, I think.
So, Alan, is that something that's recent, you know, or has that been in play for a while?
Well, actually, that particular scholarship is raised for student fees.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, if you go back many, many years, prior to Bill Woodworth's tenure, the numbers had dropped a little bit. But, man, the minute he got here, yeah. The numbers just skyrocketed. He is just fantastic.
Yeah, he's exceptional. And so what can we expect to hear from the marching band? What's the theme this year? Can you spill that for us?
You'll have to come to games and see. But I can definitely guarantee that they're fun pop tunes that you probably know. We're really just – they're loud, they're fun, and we're really excited to show them off.
And Caitlin Hess, music major, Emporia State. I do know Caitlin, spending some time, you know, talking with the faculty of the music department. There are a lot of good folks, and they did a couple of fundraisers for us a couple of years ago for the United Way that we were very appreciative of. Thank you very much. And I do know that there are a lot of Emporia State graduates, I think, that are directing bands in high schools here in this area. In fact, you can nary look down the road and not find an ESU grad that is not running a music department. You aware of that? I'm sure you are.
Yes, met lots of them. They always come back and visit, say hi. And then recent grads, I mean, I've even gone to school with and gotten to know really well.
Well, good. Obviously very successful.
Yeah, thanks, Caitlin. And let's bring in Corey Mann. He's a senior majoring in music and music education from Kansas City, Kansas. What high school did you go to, Corey?
Piper High School.
Okay. And from Piper, how'd you get to ESU?
Oh, man. About an hour and a half drive from Kansas City. No, but, you know, ESU was just always one of those schools that kept popping up in the trail of breadcrumbs as I went throughout life, and I just kind of stuck in the back of my head in the subconscious, I guess. But I'm kind of along the same lines as Caitlin. I came here for a visit, and I walked on campus, and it's that little bit of the walk between the Morse Hall residence areas where you have Wooster Lake and the football field and everything, and I think the best word to describe that experience is it just kind of felt like home. I got in the car with my mom after that, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she's like, "This is it, isn't it?" I said, "Yep, that's about it." The faculty, once again, is just amazing, and part of the reason, I think, too, that really it felt like home. You know, you sadly see a lot of places with performance areas, especially like music, where the professors are more focused on the product, but I feel like here, truly, they're focused more on the progress of the student, which is awesome.
So go ahead, Aaron.
And your goal is to be an educator. Is that correct?
Actually, not right off the bat. I have aspirations to go into grad school for opera performance and try to chase my dreams of a performance career. But I have truly found that my original quote unquote backup plan of music education is something that I truly could be very happy doing in life, too. I would not be upset to be a music educator at any facet.
So what kind of performance art are you looking at specifically? Does it matter?
No. it's one of those situations. We had a master class last year with a group that did a concert in town, the Bad Boys of Opera. I don't know if you guys heard of them.
Yeah.
But I asked the question, how do you get into the business and stuff like that? And what opportunities should you seek and different things like that? And the answer really stuck out to me. He said, any. He said, as a person who's into performance, if you truly love performance, you will find any and every opportunity to perform, whether it's singing at a church on Sunday or singing on a Broadway stage.
So you are more of a vocal student than in the music department?
Oh, yes. Please, dear God, don't give me an instrument. it's not going to go well for anybody involved.
So how difficult was that then, during COVID, as far as, the experience and the learning process and the growing process?
Right. It is so difficult, especially from the learning process as far as, like, private lessons went. There were a lot of technical issues, like Dr. Comstock was talking about earlier, to get out of the way. One thing we quickly found out is that over Zoom, as Dr. Scott Weichel, my private vocal teacher, was playing warm-ups or different things on the piano, the way it was coming over the audio on Zoom was actually like a whole step above or lower than the pitch he was playing. And so he was getting really confused as how I was singing so terribly. And then we figured it out. So, you know, it's a lot of things to do with, you know, technological issues, but also just like the mental and emotional issues of not being in that environment. You know, we talked quite frequently about, like, this place truly is home and there is a family and a community here, especially in the music department. And then getting told you have an extra week of spring break that turned into an extra, like, 3 months of being at home. Being away from that community after being used to being in that environment is just something that was very difficult to do.
Well, and we did hear, you know, when we were off air, that you're involved in the theater department too, correct?
Yes. That's another thing that's so great about ESU here, and especially like the music department and theater department, is there can be a lot of crossover that you don't see at a lot of big universities, and which has allowed me the ability to be in summer theater this past summer. I was in No Way to Treat a Lady as Morris Brummel, who was this just schlump of a detective that I loved playing so much. And then this fall, we are currently working on the audition process for Urinetown, the fall musical, which I'm hoping to be a part of. And then I will say the Scottish play, as to not invoke the wrath of the theater gods that be. But we are doing a production of the Shakespeare Scottish play, Mackers, as I will shorten it to. But very interesting department, very, very great group of people that are great to work with, as well as the music faculty, that do care about the progress and development of the performer.
Well, certainly it seems like you've been able to broaden your horizons.
Yes, then. Yes.
So a gig on Broadway, you'd take that then?
Absolutely. Call me tomorrow. I will take it. I'm sorry, Dr. Comstock, I'm leaving. But
no, I understand. That's
no,
right.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that, you know, with COVID and the situation that we've seen, is so many people have really begun to understand not just the importance of, you know, our healthcare workers and our doctors and our first responders, but also the importance of culture, because we missed out on it for so long. And yeah. So I think like music and theater and everything that encompasses really is going to take a step forward in the public sphere just from that.
Which is a perfect transition to, we not only, the kids not only missed a part of their proper schooling or non-COVID schooling, but we missed out on about a year's worth of performances. What all performances are scheduled now? Where can people find a list of them?
Okay, thank you for asking about that. Well, we're back up and running. So we will have
a traditional busy season, as we always have with all of our student ensembles, faculty performances. And there are a number of ways to find out about that. The easiest is probably to just go to emporia.edu/music, and that'll take you directly to the music homepage, and there's a list of concerts, where they are, when they are, obviously who's performing. most of our events happen on campus, either in Heath Recital Hall, which is in Beach Music Hall, or in Albert Taylor Hall. It depends on the size of the ensemble. And then our choral events are often off campus at the First United Methodist Church because the acoustics are really nice there. we have a concert series funded by Doug Amond, and in October we're bringing back one of our first international alumni. Actually, a couple of them. They're going to do a piano duo, Fei-Fei Jiang and Peter Jiang. And they will be here, and that is funded by Doug Amond, and we appreciate that very much because that we don't have a lot of money to bring in external artists. We get some funding from student fees to help with that, but we don't have deep pockets, and so anytime we have external help for something like that, it's a huge supplement to what we can do. And when the artists come in, they also work with the students, so they perform and the students get to have lessons with them, and it's just a great opportunity. So if you want to find out, you can also just call the music office, 620-341-5431, and one of our wonderful student secretaries can tell you when and where.
This is the performance you're speaking of not dueling pianos, but a piano duet. That is part of the Pops concert series?
No, that's separate. That is a separate concert series. Now, the Pops concert is with the Emporia Symphony, and that is one of three community groups that we have. We have the Emporia Symphony, which comprises faculty, students, and community folks, and they do four concerts a year. And then we have a community chorus, which does two concerts a year. And then we also have a community flute choir, which is pretty neat for a community our size to have a community flute choir. So we have a lot of interaction with community folks. And occasionally we have community people that will play in the wind ensemble. You know, just they may be retired and they played trumpet or whatever and they want to come back. We had a gentleman several years ago who had played from the time he was in college, he just kept playing and playing and playing until the day he passed away, and he was in his 90s. He played euphonium. You know, it's again, that kind of speaks to the fact that music stays with you for your whole life. You know, it's just a great thing. So the Pops concert, getting back to that, is something that Ramiro Miranda does. First of all, orchestras do Pops concerts because people love to hear, you know, more popular music music and stuff. And they're really fun to play. I personally really enjoy performing in them. And that is the one concert of the year typically that we hold at the Granada Theater. and it usually has a good, solid turn. In fact, it's often sold out. So it gives us a chance to often reach a little bit different audience, to expand the audience. And one part of that is that morning, this is Tuesday, October 12th, I think. at 10 o'clock, the area school children will be coming in. And then we do an hour-long performance specifically for them. And, you know, we demonstrate the different instruments and kind of tailor the program to them. And that's something that orchestras tend to do, certainly larger orchestras. But it's, I think, for a community our size, it's a real benefit that the music department brings, you know, to help get the students interested in music and, you know, to show them that, hey, you know, maybe I could pick up bassoon or something too. So it's a really neat supplement to what we do, to our mission as a department.
So, Alan, how important is the campus-community relationship as far as the music department goes?
It's essential. I mean, we wouldn't have a symphony orchestra if we didn't have community involvement. Because, you know, we don't have 100 violin players. And, you know, it's part of our mission, too, because we are here. We're one of the faces of ESU. And our job is to not just present a product, but to interact with people and to be there as a resource, you know, to provide people an opportunity to perform. And many of the musicians in the orchestra are longtime Emporia residents. Some of them, you know, like the Stars, for example, you know, they taught here. Their children went through the school. And so you'll often see like three generations of the Stars, for example. You know, sometimes four, actually. And so it's really exciting to see that sort of generational gift of music to people.
Well, I know there's a heavy Emporia State flavor in the municipal band.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The municipal band is fantastic. That is one of the oldest, in fact, it may be the oldest continuing municipal band in the country, going back into the 19th century. And that is technically not part of the school. However, we let them use some of our music library space, so they house so their music is housed in the Beach Hall, and a lot of the faculty, a lot of the students play in the municipal band. In fact, we wouldn't have a municipal band if it wasn't for the contact with the ESU. So it's a really cool relationship, and you know, that's another thing that we're looking forward to getting back to is having the community band, because they always do a really awesome Christmas concert, and then they have the wonderful summer band program.
Yeah, 2 years now that they've been unable to, you know, get together due to the pandemic. But I have heard that there still possibly could be the Christmas concert.
We're hoping
that could be happening, and we'll certainly keep our fingers crossed on that. We do want to get to your benefit concert gala, which is a big fundraiser for the music department, and talk to Angela a little bit about the foundation. And we got one more break to take.
We're going to do that right after the break. Bruce Davis Construction, excuse me, and CB Financial are our sponsors. This is the On Air Chat on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Income is the outcome that matters most in retirement. I'm Craig Barnwell with CB Financial, and I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. If I doubled your portfolio, that might not change your lifestyle. You'd still be you. However, if I doubled your income, that could make a significant impact on your retirement. So whether you're retired or you want to see how soon that can happen, give us a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. You can reach us at 620-208-6777. That's 620-208-6777. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 342-5001.
Garage sale listings on the air and on the web at Garage Sale Prices. Call 342-1400 or log on to KVOE.com for details.
KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM live and local. It's time now for sports headlines being brought to you by Bruff Sports Bar and Grill. They are open for lunch daily, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. through Labor Day. Bruce is looking forward to serving you. Bruce Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18th. Now with KVOE Sports Headlines, here is Greg Ray.
Thank you, Scott, and good morning. A good start to the season for the Emporia High volleyball team. They swept Topeka High, winning 25-9, 25-19, and swept Highland Park, winning 25-8, 25-4. Lady Spartans play at Highland Park on Thursday. They'll also face Topeka West and Junction City. Not a bad start to the season for the Emporia High girls golf team at the Emporia Invitational. Individually, three Lady Spartans finished in the top 10. Avery Eckert finished first with a 74. Olivia Eckert finished second with an 83. And Ella Fessler finished 10th with a 98. Winfield won the team title. Blue Valley second. Dodge City third. Emporia High finished fourth as a team. Kelcher Grove finished sixth. They were led by Eden Crabb, who finished in a tie for 17th place. Cleveland Indians clobbered the Kansas City Royals 7-2 last night. It began with an inside-the-park home run in the first inning by Ahmed Rosario, who became the first player in Major League history to go 5-for-5. drive-in, 5 runs. He also hit an over-the-fence home run. Royals scored their 2 runs in the bottom of the ninth, not enough. Royals in Cleveland again tonight. Jackson Kowar listed as a starter for the Royals. First pitch at 7:10. You can hear the game here on KVOE following Hawk Talk that comes your way at 6 o'clock. Kansas City Chiefs got their roster down to the 53-man limit yesterday, waiving 22 players. They also released 2 players, receivers Derek Dieter and Marcus Kemp. They also placed offensive lineman Kyle Long on the PUP list. The Chiefs kick off their season September 12th when they take on the Cleveland Browns. That's a look at sports. I'm Greg Ray, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports Headlines, a service of Bruff Sports Bar and Grill. Bruff's is open daily for lunch, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. through Labor Day, and they're looking forward to serving you. Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18th. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
Welcome back to the on-air chat. Aaron Harder and Ron Thomas are hosting. The music department at Emporia State University is our spotlight today. Ron, you wanted to talk about the Music Benefit Concert Gala.
Yeah, we're with Dr. Alan Comstock. Alan is the chair of the music department. Also been visiting with Caitlin Hess and Corey Mann, students, senior students at Emporia State University. And Alan, I've had you on, I think, for a number of years on numerous occasions to talk about the Emporia State Music Benefit Concert Gala, which is coming up. So I guess first give us the when and where.
Okay. it's going to be Saturday, October 2nd, and it's going to be in Albert Taylor Hall this year because we don't have room for the groups in Heath. So we're moving it over to Plum Hall, which is right in the middle of campus. So there will be plenty of parking there. There's lots of parking lots on the west side of campus. It's at 7:30, and it will be a choral program this year. And that's because we are honoring our longtime and very distinguished former choir director, Dr. Terry Barham. Terry was here for a long time. Yeah. He and I overlapped a little bit, Terry was just fantastic. He was a wonderful educator. In fact, he was inducted into the Kansas Teachers Hall of Fame, which is the highest honor that you can receive as an educator in Kansas. So we thought, you know, it's long overdue. We're going to induct him into the Beach Hall of Distinction, which is something that we do every year for distinguished retired faculty, for students who've gone on and had distinguished careers, for people who have been of extremely important support for the music department. So we're just really delighted to be able to recognize Terry. So he'll be coming back. And one of his most successful alumni, Jason Sickle, is going to come, and he's organizing actually a alumni choir. And so the first half of the program will be Jason conducting the alumni choir. And then during just after intermission, we will have the induction ceremony for Terry, where I will read his bio and present him with a certificate. And then after that, our own a cappella choir will be performing. So it'll be really fun. We don't frequently have full choral concerts. You know, typically they're chamber pieces or solo. So this is going to be a really wonderful opportunity to feature our singers and to honor one of our most distinguished former faculty.
Yeah, Terry was just a great ambassador.
Yeah, great
not
guy.
Only for the music department, but for Emporia State. Mm-hmm. And there was a gentleman that, too, was very passionate.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
About educating and choral. And you see him conducting. You can just see it. I mean, it's pretty visual.
Yes.
You know, when he's out there. So it'll be good to see Terry again.
You don't last very long in music and music education if you don't have a passion, right?
That's absolutely right. It'll chew you up and spit you out.
When is the concert?
It's at 7:30 on Saturday, October 2nd. And tickets are $25. And you can purchase them through the music department. You can purchase them through our website. Or you can purchase them at the door.
And all of that money goes towards scholarships for
music
students?
Every penny of that goes towards scholarships for the fund is actually the only fund that we have complete discretion on. So that is the fund that helps to support our non-music majors. So really, in a way, that is a scholarship for the whole university. You know, if a student has talent and they play viola or they sing and, you know, we've used up – it's a real balancing act to go through all of our foundation accounts because they have – it's called a memorandum of agreement where, okay, this fund will go to a clarinet player and they have to be a music ed student and they have to have a certain GPA. And then there's a second choice and a third choice. And so it's very complicated. It takes a lot of time to jumble around how we do that. So in the music department, we have to be very specific about – so for example, a student comes in, we don't say, okay, you know, you're auditioning for this scholarship. We do have a couple like that. But most of the time they come in and they audition, then we present them a dollar amount award. And then the hard work begins, where we have to jump around and make sure that student fulfills the requirements for that award. And so in order to be able to give awards to non-music majors, we have to have the source. Now, some of it also goes toward majors, too. It's probably split about 50-50. But if it wasn't for these funds, we wouldn't have ensembles because, you know, there are so many non-majors that participate. And the ratio was different for the different ensembles, but, you know, there are oftentimes you need a particular kid on a certain instrument, and we don't have another source of money for that instrument. Or we need another tenor or whatever it might be. And so this is how we do it. So it's an extremely valuable source of scholarship funding for us.
So how can we get our tickets to the benefits gala?
Okay. You can go to emporia.edu/music and purchase them there. Or you can come to the music department office, which is room 105 in Beach Music Hall. You can call the office at 620-341-5431 and order them that way, or you can purchase them at the door.
And I assume we can make a donation, too, if we'd like, right?
Oh, absolutely. We strongly encourage it, and many, many, many people do. We have many generous donors out there. And, you know, for those who donate over and above the price of the ticket, we, of course, list your name on the program, too. So you can be a virtuoso or Beethoven, whatever the designations are.
There's tears.
That's right.
Speaking of donations, Angela Fullen from the ESU Foundation are joining us. How's the Together Forward campaign going?
It's going great. Thanks for asking, Aaron.
Homecoming's here before you know it, huh?
It is. And you know, that's the date where we reveal how much that we have raised towards this campaign. The challenge was to raise, or the goal was to raise $50 million by homecoming. And so what are we, 6-7 weeks away before we'll announce what this next phase is going to look like? I would like to step back just a moment, because as Dr. Comstock was talking about the Music Gala benefit, that is such an important event for them every single year. Last year, they couldn't have it in person. We couldn't have it. But they knew that they had to award scholarships this fall. So we got together. I got together with the whole department. We were talking about what can we do, because we still need to have some sort of fundraising effort so that we can be prepared to offer scholarships to worthy and deserving students this fall. The teachers and the faculty in the department are absolutely amazing. They're so creative. They were willing to do whatever it took. So what we did the month of February this year, they came up with a bunch of different videos of individually of them playing, faculty members, different students playing in different locations around the campus, different types of songs. And then we had an email list where we would send it out to supporters. And we would say, this is what's going on. This is what our need is. We weren't able to get together, you know, last fall like we typically do. But we were able to reach out to more people than before, because typically those that support are the ones that come here that are local. But we were able to reach out across the whole United States, and we raised more money last year than we've ever raised. And so we're super pumped for October 2nd for this concert to be able to talk with everyone about this opportunity again.
Is there going to be a live streaming opportunity or a video recording that you can kind of do the same thing and reach out to alums?
There will be. So if someone donates but they can't be here, then we'll send them a link so that they can actually live stream the concert.
That'll be great. So
we'll break that. Thing and play in February again. Just on top of it.
We'll break it again.
That's right. That's the goal. There's three priorities for the Together Forward campaign, and one of them happens to be talent awards, talent scholarships. And as you've been listening to the students here, you know, they started working on their talent and on their skill years and years before they stepped foot on campus. And those are the kind of students that we want to recruit. We want to reward them for their hard work, for their dedication. And a scholarship makes all the difference in the world to these students when we're trying to recruit them as high school juniors and seniors. It also makes us competitive against all the other Regent universities, those that are around where they're thinking about going, because the scholarship package that we can offer students makes the difference. That's how we can get more talented majors and non-majors here at Emporia State, because as we heard Dr. Comstock talk about, the music department does a lot for the community. They don't just keep their talent on campus. They perform for everyone in the community of Emporia. I myself, along with everyone who's listening, has probably enjoyed multiple concerts. So now is the time to make a difference. Now is the time to step up and help the music department with a talent award scholarship. It's easy to do. You can reach out to anyone at the foundation by calling 620-341-5440. Have a conversation with us about how you want to support our music department.
Great program, huh,
yes,
Ron?
Yes, indeed. Learned a lot. We could have went longer even, too.
We could have gone longer, but there's a – encourage everybody to go to emporia.edu/music and see the many, many things instrumentally, vocally that are coming up. It's just going to be great to have concerts back.
Well, and I invite people, too, to tune in probably starting in another week, every Tuesday and Thursday at 8:50, as Tess Zeke will be on with Emporia State Music Notes.
Yeah.
She does that twice a week, so
yep,
she'll update us on activities in the Department of Music in Emporia State.
Well, thanks, Angela Fullen from the ESU Foundation, for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Corey Mann, senior major in music and music education.
Well, thank you.
And thanks to Caitlin Hess, senior major in music education.
Thanks so much.
We'll be hearing you both this year, right?
Very much.
Yes, hopefully.
That's the goal.
And Dr. Comstock, we'll have you back on to preview some of the larger events going on. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the On Air Chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. And CB Financial. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell at 517 East 6th Avenue. The Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.